This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Buy, sell, week 3. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. With me is my boy, Big Pot Energy, Andrew Erickson, and Mason Dodd is back again joining us for another show. We're so happy to have Mason back on the program. He had joined us a few times in the offseason and the draft season, but now he's back again, and of course, he's coming, hanging out with us. He's the man behind the Fantasy Flock network over on YouTube, which is just absolutely blowing up. And we're so proud. We're so proud of you and all your flockers. They do such wonderful work over there. But we are bringing you a very important show today because now we've had a couple weeks. It's time to make some trades. That's what we're doing. Trade targets and some rest of season risers and fallers in week 3. This is the time where people have a little less patience. Week 1, people go, okay, it's week 1. I don't want to overreact. 2 bad weeks in a row. Mason, I feel like that's when the overreactions begin.
Yeah, that's when people hit the panic button. That's when they're asking me, oh, should I drop Kyle Pitts? And I have to just look at him and go, are you kidding, man? It's been 2 weeks.
Boy, you came out shots firing right at one of Erickson's favorite guys there. Are you okay that he even said the words drop Kyle Pitts all in the same sentence there, Erickson?
I mean, it's definitely concerning, but I'm not worried.
All right, there you go. Not worried. Look, but there is opportunity. And today's show is about opportunity, taking advantage of those opportunities where people are panicking, making bad decisions. Also, not to mention looking ahead to the schedule. We just finished a live stream. By the way, we do a live stream every Tuesday at 12:30 Eastern on the YouTube and Thursday where we take your questions. And we got a lot of questions about some players over and over again. We'll address some of them today, but look at the schedule. That's another thing too. The teams are struggling. Maybe the players that are struggling, maybe those schedules get a little better. There's an opportunity to buy on them. And we're going to debate just that right here on the show. But of course, if you need extra help, Fantasy Pros and our amazing tools are always here for you. FantasyPros.com/MyPlaybook has the Trade Analyzer. Our Trade Analyzer and Trade Finder tools are the best resources out there in the business for all of you active, crazy fantasy managers out there that are looking to always improve their roster. The Trade Analyzer gives instant analysis for any trade involving any number of players you want. You can trade your whole team for somebody else, and it'll tell you if that's a good idea or a bad team, a bad idea. And the Trade Finder shows you which deals will improve your team and how likely they are to get accepted in your league. And you can obviously make the deals and make the moves, but you don't want to make a move without My Playbook and all these amazing tools. And if you want to upgrade, now is the time because you get 6 free months of Fantasy Pros premium tools when you go to fantasypros.com/offers and make a deposit in one of our partner sites, and then you get the 6 free months of the premium product to unlock all the incredible tools to help dominate your league at fantasypros.com/myplaybook.
Sleepers, most traded players.
Now, gentlemen, we are going to kick things off here with a little Q&A regarding the running backs. We've had a change to the offense in case you guys missed it. Jimmy Garoppolo now under center for the rest of the season for the San Francisco 49ers. So I'm going to ask you guys, are we buying, selling, or holding Jeffrey Wilson Jr.? Erickson, let's start with you with this one. What are you doing with Jeffrey Wilson?
I think I'm going to hold Jeffrey Wilson Jr. I think that's probably the best move here. I don't think you're going to get a lot for him if you try to sell him. I mean, you're kind of selling him based on, okay, Tyrann Davis Price got hurt, and now they have no one else to go to in the backfield. It was always going to be his backfield while Elijah Mitchell was out, and you're selling him off of no touchdowns. He still hasn't really found the end zone yet. He has 5 carries inside the 10-yard line, 0 scores. He got vultured by Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Juszczyk last week, which was which is absolutely horrible to see. And you find a lot with these waiver wire guys that it's really hard for them to knock the fact that they were waiver wire guys. So you're not going to get a lot for him value-wise because Jeff Wilson wasn't necessarily drafted in a lot of places or drafted very, very late. So similar to like Cordarrelle Patterson last year, where it took so long for people to catch on to, oh, wow, this guy actually has like fantasy value. You know, people aren't going to be, oh, I got to go get Jeff Wilson. So if anything, I would definitely be a holder, and I would be really looking to sell if, you know, he's coming off a game where he scores multiple touchdowns. Because right now, you know, he's the RB33 in terms of total points scored in PPR, but he's RB17 in expected points. So I think that we haven't seen the best of Jeff Wilson, so I would want to hold him.
And the guys we're talking about, by the way, these are the ones that are most traded right now on the Sleeper app, which is the best place to be playing your fantasy football. If you haven't already, switch your league over to the Sleeper app or continue to add more leagues to it. But Jeffrey Wilson traded in a ton of leagues on Sleeper. It's funny, Mason, because if you look at the line, right, for this guy, 18 for 84. That sounds a lot like the guy who was there before him, before he got hurt. That sounds like a Eli Mitchell line if ever I heard it. 18 for 84, maybe a catch or two, that's about it. But no touchdowns. That was the problem. That seems to be like it would be going in the other direction. So what are you doing with Wilson? Buying, selling, or holding him?
Yeah, honestly, I'm the biggest Trey Lance guy in the world, but Trey Lance going down helps everybody in this offense because the reason you were betting on Lance is for himself, he was going to be able to get those goal line rushing touchdowns. On top of it, he was going to be able to rack up his own rushing yards. So going over to Jimmy Garoppolo, I like actually the running back target share in San Francisco to probably go up a bit. And at the same time, I think you have to be a little bit less worried about those quarterbacks getting those touchdowns, as you already said. I know Elijah Mitchell didn't score touchdowns last year, but Deebo Samuel had 8 rushing touchdowns last year. I love Deebo, but that's not happening again. So I think that you're right. You have to go through. You have to hold Jeff Wilson because selling him, well, you're going to get a bag of potato chips. I don't know what you could actually get in trade. So I think you just hold him, especially with the bye weeks coming up soon. You're probably going to need some running back depth. Or maybe if you drafted someone like Travis Etienne, like I stupidly did in a lot of leagues, maybe at this point you want to be playing Jeff Wilson over him.
Well, I think it depends on what flavor chips we're talking. I mean, what's your go-to chips? That's the question. Are you a salt and vinegar guy? You're sour cream and onion? Like, what are you doing?
I don't know. Last time I had a bag of chips, it was Doritos Cool Ranch, and it was about the best thing I've ever eaten in my entire life.
The last time you like, are you like a no-carb guy? Is that why you're such a handsome devil? Is that what it is? No carbs for Erickson, no carbs for Mason Dodd. Give me all the carbs. I'll take it. For the record, by the way, I'm holding Wilson, and I'm buying him everywhere because there's some people that might think, oh, no, Jimmy Garoppolo, it's a downgrade, whatever it is. What Mason said is 100% correct. It's an opportunity here where you're not going to get Jimmy Garoppolo running in a lot of touchdowns. You're not going to get Kyle Juszczyk taking too many more. So I would be looking to add Wilson for those people who might make him available. And it looks like from the Sleeper app, that dude's available. Let's talk about some guys that might be available for him. Jeffrey Wilson Jr. or Daryl Henderson Jr. Lots of juniors. We're swapping juniors here. Mason, who would you rather have rest of season?
If you would have asked me this last week, I think I would have easily gone Daryl Henderson. I mean, with Daryl Henderson, he looked like he was going to be a 3-down running back, one of the best offenses in the NFL. But thank God they got Cam Akers involved here, so I don't look like the dumbest person on the planet where I drafted Cam Akers in too many leagues in the 6th round. So with Cam Akers splitting this backfield 50-50, I think that it's going to be a muddy mess. It's going to be very difficult to figure out when we could start Daryl Henderson. So I think you just go Jeff Wilson Jr. at this point.
Erickson, how about you? Henderson or Wilson?
I agree with what Mason said. I'm definitely on the Jeff Wilson side here. You know, I was in on Cam Akers as well in the 6th round, and so I did not like the week 1 results, but I was thrilled with what we saw in week 2. And this is why we talked about Henderson as this fragile, like, sell him now, because it could not get better than it was last week. You know, even if he ended up maintaining the role, it's like, okay, now you'll get, you know, people are treating him like the RB1. Like, you'll be able to get a solid return for him. But yeah, it was always a chance that Sean McVay would turn the backfield upside down, and it's exactly what he did.
Well, it's not even upside down. I mean, what was the thing we said after week 1, which is Henderson was great, but you lost. So you're going to go back and you're going to figure out the thing. Who didn't we get the football to? Robinson, Akers. Maybe we should spread it around a little bit more and maybe not try to be so Cooper Kupp central all the damn time. I don't know. Let's get another guy here. How about James Robinson or Jeffrey Wilson Jr.? How about for you, Erickson? Who would you rather have rest of season?
I think I'm going to go with James Robinson here. I mean, until we see Travis Etienne like try to dethrone James Robinson from this RB1 spot, it's like really hard to get away from him. I mean, the guy looks great coming off the Achilles injury. List his stat line last week in week two. He had 68 yards after contact. He had 64 total rushing yards in the game. So he's doing it all on his own. He's not getting a lot of help up front. But James Robinson, I mean, he's just sticking it to everyone that, oh, he can't come back. He's not going to be healthy. And what he's doing is absolutely amazing. And right now, mm-hmm. I mean, he doubled Travis Etienne's touches in week two. Now the game script obviously played into James Robinson's favor, but he's still running more routes than Etienne. So even in negative game script, I don't necessarily expect Robinson to just get totally gamed out of the snap counts. Like, I think he's still going to be involved even in games that they're trailing. So unless Etienne really blows James Robinson out of the water or there's an injury, I think it's really Robinson's job to lose right now.
Now, Mason, I know now that this is a sensitive one for you after talking about all the Etienne shares. So I apologize in advance for asking this question, but James Robinson or Jeff Wilson Jr., who would you rather have rest of season?
I would love to plead the fifth here because with Etienne, this is a running back. He's played two NFL games before. I completely agree. I think if you look at the touches this past week, I mean, Etienne, yeah, had like 9-10 carries. But in reality, a lot of those came when the game was completely out of hand. So the box score maybe even lies that James Robinson was more of a factor than Etienne to a great extent last week. Now, I will say, if you're on a team where maybe you had Elijah Mitchell, if you had Cam Akers, if you have a need for running back right now, I would feel more comfortable projecting Jeff Wilson out in a PPR format where maybe Etienne expands his role over the coming weeks. But if you're looking for a long-term upside, I definitely think that James Robinson's the guy at this point.
All right, Erickson, we had Mason say Cool Ranch Doritos. What's your chips of choice, too? I just want to know before we hang out together.
I like sour cream onion chips. I don't know. I like those a lot growing up, and they're kind of like my guilty pleasure. You know, when I want to eat some carbs, Joe, I basically just grab a bag of chips, sour cream and onion, just plop on the couch.
There you go. I will say Cool Ranch are my favorite of the Doritos. I will say that. The worst is like if you get like the spicy one accidentally, you don't realize it. That happened to me once. Grabbed the wrong Doritos. Like, oh, wait, I was not prepared for that. I did not realize that was coming. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides its members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind for you and your family. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to $50 in a Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMed Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. All right, let's go to another player who's been moved quite a bit over on the Sleeper app, and it is Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara right now is a player dealing with rib injury, uncertainty in the offense, uncertainty at the quarterback position. All right, Mason, we'll start with you with this one. Alvin Kamara, are you buying, selling, or holding him right now?
Based on the players we're going to be comparing him to in just a minute, I think you got to be buying him. I understand there are serious red flags, the rib injury you already discussed, the questions around the offense in general. And on top of this, Alvin Kamara has more target competition now than he's ever had in New Orleans. You have healthy Michael Thomas, you have Chris Olave, you have Jarvis mm-hmm. Landry, and maybe if you do get Taysom Hill just occasionally once a month going through and just stealing a touchdown from these skill positional players, it's going to be a headache to continue to go in the future. But with all these red flags, I mean, his price is absolutely cratered. And I think that if you can go through and trade for a running back that we've seen have the running back one overall upside, and we can buy him at a high-end running back two price tag, I'm probably about that.
All right. I can understand being about that, but is there any trepidation for you, Andrew Erickson? Because if you look now, this is a player that's been in the league now for, you know, this is the sixth season. Typically, running backs do have an expiration date. I hate to be to mean about it, but that's just a fact. So is this maybe a trap to be buying on Kamara? Are you somebody that wants to sell him and get younger at the position for the rest of the season, maybe?
I mean, I don't think right now is the best. I mean, you never want to sell like for pennies on the dollar. You got to sell players after an explosive game. Like Alvin Kamara still has the name cachet where, yeah, he's been the RB1 in fantasy football. He's been a top five guy for multiple years. So he still has that part of his game. He's still going to catch passes. And it's not like the Saints are running backs that they have are, they need to get them touches. Now that's the concern is he doesn't have a lot. He's not going to have the same volume he had last year. Like he made up for the lack of receptions and targets last year because he was getting the ball like 24 times a game because they were just feeding him with no offensive weaponry. Now the Saints offensive line is kind of taking a step back. So that's concerns about, okay, how efficient is Kamara going to be? Because he needs to be efficient on a per touch basis. So for me, when you compare him to some of the guys that we're looking at here, I think I would probably still be in the buying camp because I think that Kamara after a big game is going to have more value than some of the other guys we're going to talk about. So that's how I always kind of look at him. Like, who is the market going to view in the highest? If Kamara has a 3-touchdown game, oh my God. Like, people are going to be going mad to try to get Alvin Kamara versus some of these lesser players that are viewed as the RB2s, even if that's not necessarily correct in their respective offenses.
Andrew, something I mentioned on the live stream when I was talking to D-Bro and some of the people listening there was about the draft capital is still attached to these guys early in the season. The further you get away from the draft, the less that happens. Is that a danger with Kamara too? Like if you don't get out of the Kamara business appropriately, perhaps like maybe in 3 weeks from now, nobody cares about, well, he was a first round pick. Well, it doesn't matter anymore because he's not a first round player. Does that enter your conversation in your head as well?
I think so. I think it's you want to try to figure out how does your league view this player too? Because Kamara was kind of going in really weird ranges. Like there were times
he was
because of the suspension thing. So he was like his ADP in like certain platforms was like still in round three versus people would take him in the middle of round one because they thought, okay, he's going to be the same guy. Now I kind of settled him as like a round two guy and someone that I had some concerns about, but I'm like, okay, if he falls into a certain range, you know, after X, Y, Z receivers, okay, I'm going to take Kamara here. So I didn't draft a lot of Kamara for that reason, but I understand that there is a lot of upside with him and the fact that, you know, he has the name cachet. I think that's really big. People are not going to try to write off Alvin Kamara, you know, after obviously he missed a game because of an injury.
All right. These trades I'm going to throw at you, I think the caveat is they're starting with this running back I'm giving you. And then probably, I think you can still squeeze out a low end wide receiver 4 or 5 or somebody else in these deals. Let's start with Alvin Kamara or Kareem Hunt plus. Is that a move you would make, Erickson?
I mean, on the plus side, I mean, I probably I guess I was trying to look at this more straight up because I mean, Kareem Hunt, like what's the real difference between Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara? We have guys that are both going to be seeing like
at this point, honestly, I think they're pretty close, but I think the name brand value of Kamara, you could squeeze out maybe not Curtis Samuel right now, but you could squeeze out, you know, another wide receiver, I think somewhere in that lower range potentially, or at least that's viewed as such.
I mean, I'm looking at like the workloads for those two players and they're probably going to be around like 15 touches per game. You know, that's kind of what we've seen from Hunt with Nick Chubb in this backfield. And then with Kamara, when Ingram has been healthy, that's really been his volume. It's been around that 15 touch. And considering how efficient Kareem Hunt just continues to be, you know, he's not, you know, we haven't seen his talents really falter in any way. You know, he's at 27 years old. And you also have the upside case of the Browns trade him. You know, if he ends up getting moved to a different team, you could see an even further upside for Kareem Hunt. So I think I'd chase that type of narrative and try to get a little bit more by moving Kamara for Hunt.
All right. Hunt and Kamara, who would you rather have rest of season here, Mason?
I think we're overthinking this. I understand at the end of the day, maybe we want to sell him before his value craters. But we're talking Alvin Kamara or Kareem Hunt. I mean, I'm the biggest Kareem Hunt guy in the world. I think Kareem Hunt has access to high-value touches in Cleveland. I think he can be a running back used in the red zone. He's a running back that also gets that nice target share out of the backfield. But at the same time, it's Alvin Kamara and Kareem Hunt. I'm going Kamara here, even if the situation's not as good as what's been years past.
All right, how about A.J. Dillon and a wide receiver? Let's say, oh, I don't know. Let's say Brandon Ayuk and A.J. Dillon for Alvin Kamara. Is that enough for you?
I like the idea of trading for A.J. Dillon here. I mean, I do not have A.J. Dillon in nearly enough leagues. He actually led the Green Bay Packers in touches week two. I know that you did have Aaron Jones, obviously, as the running back early. Aaron Jones had all the points in the world, so people are going to overlook A.J. Dillon after week two. I like the idea of trading for him, but I don't know. Maybe I have not hit the panic button enough as I should with Kamara here. I think I'm still going to be taking like Alvin Kamara easily over A.J. Dillon and Ayuk, but this could be something that I'm regretting in a month.
You could be the voice of reason here. I think that's perfectly fine. And I think it's good to reiterate that to people. You make these investments in these players because they've proven time and time again. But Erickson, A.J. Dillon for you or Alvin Kamara rest of season with the way potentially the trend of that offense in New Orleans might be heading in a negative direction.
Well, I mean, how great is the Packers offense? I mean, we've seen them play the Bears and Okay, they played the Bears.
Prolific when they play the Bears.
But they didn't look very good against the against the Vikings defense that Jalen Hurts basically ripped to shreds. So I think they're still concerned.
But that was
about
Monday night Kirk Cousins. So we, you know, it's way past his
He doesn't
bedtime.
Play defense.
You know, he goes to bed at 6:30 p.m. I don't know
Kirk
what
Cousins
it is about.
Does Kirk Cousins play defense?
I don't know. He doesn't play offense on Monday. I'll say that.
Regardless, I'm going to go with Kamara here. I don't think that, you know, Dylan's still in a timeshare with Aaron Jones, and Aaron Jones is still the RB1 there, and we're still waiting for Dylan to take another big step, even though I like what we've seen from him. I just think that, I guess Kamara, I think I'd need to, like, do some type of package with him. I think I'd maybe rather package him to try to upgrade, like getting a star wide receiver, get it with something else for Kamara, not necessarily trying to move off Kamara to try to sell low on him, but trying to package him to trade up for something a little bit better off of one of these receivers, like a Devontae Adams who's coming off a bad game, package Kamara with another receiver. Maybe I can go get Devontae Adams.
I'm putting you on the spot here, Andrew, but in your rest of season rankings, where do you have Kamara? Is he is an RB1 for you still, right? I'm assuming he's right on that fringe, which is kind of where he started this year, I think, for most of us.
I'm
so
trying to see where I have him.
Well, I put you on the spot. We'll think about that for a second. You can let me know. The next guy on the list we'll talk about is DJ Moore, who obviously has been a player that has, I would say, underperformed so far and been under expectations to begin the season. Mason, let's begin with this one. DJ Moore, are you buying, selling, or holding this talent?
I think it's going to depend on your league format a little bit. In a non-PPR format, I understand, yes, DJ Moore scored the touchdown last week, but DJ Moore's never been a wide receiver that's going to be a high touchdown score. And based on what we've seen with Baker Mayfield so far, I like the idea of Baker Mayfield and DJ Moore coming into the year, but I'm definitely not confident after the first 2 weeks. So in that non-PPR format, I think I'm fine going through and looking to move off DJ Moore. However, in a PPR league, based on the target share we've seen from DJ Moore with the multitude of different quarterbacks over the past 3 seasons, even if Robbie Anderson's been out there looking like he is the wide receiver one in Carolina, I'm still probably going to be holding on to DJ Moore in a PPR format because you can't sell him for what you drafted him at. Everybody
would you be trying to buy him low?
I don't necessarily think I could say buy him low either. I think that he is clearly just going to be a hold because I do see that those red flags are very real. And because those red flags are very real, it just seems like a very difficult player to move one way or another.
Well, I can tell you from the live stream, a lot of people are ready to move on. So there might be more buy lows out there in the market than you realize. People do not have patience. Erickson, before we get into DJ Moore, what was the answer to the Kamara question?
It's okay. I got it here. I got him.
Hard. Andrew's rest of season rankings are very bulbous. He has to pull them out of the cabinet.
It was loading. So it was exactly loading where you set me up for. So like fringe RB1. So right now he's RB13. So he's still there for me.
That's what
so
I figured. I was just curious. Just for perspective for people, if you could package Kamara and move up to the top 10 guy, you could get Swift for Kamara something. I think you do that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Second. Yeah. I think that that's,
or
that's,
Dal-
I think
would
that's
you do Dalvin Cook? Kamara plus for Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. Yeah. I would definitely want to use Kamara as a piece of moving up to a running back that I maybe feel a little bit better at. And just because you don't want to, like, it's not, you shouldn't draft Kamara and then just get rid of him after he's really only had one game that he gets to play and then he got hurt. So, and he also left the first game because he got hurt. So,
well,
I think
6 years in the NFL, that'll do it to you. Just saying. That's why I said last year about Zeke and nobody wanted to listen to that either. Let's go to DJ Moore and your take on this. Buy, sell, or hold the DJ?
So with DJ Moore, the thing with him is he's not going to be like a league winner, you know, with Baker Mayfield. We kind of know that. Like, we know at the end of the day, though, DJ Moore is going to be a wide receiver too. Like that's what he's always done, regardless of wherever his quarterback has been. So based on him not being a wide receiver too, like currently, it means that he's probably going to increase his production a little bit more down the line. I mean, he started out slow before, you know, when Robbie Anderson first arrived in Carolina, you know, everyone was panicking because Robbie Anderson became like the wide receiver one. And then DJ Moore ended up scoring more points than him, but not by a significant margin. And DJ Moore was still, again, like a fringe wide receiver too. So again, for me, it's a hold. Moore isn't someone that I think that you need to actively, aggressively target. Like, you got to get this guy in your team no matter what. Because I don't think he ever really fit that category even during draft season because he's held back by the quarterback play. And as talented as DJ Moore is, it's still not enough to overcome the situation that he's in Carolina. So for me, if you can get him cheap enough where, oh, great, like I can upgrade, I can flip a wide receiver three, one of these waiver wire guys for a consistent producer like DJ Moore, I like that idea. But I'm not willing to, I need to go out and get him because he's going to change the way my lineup is constructed. It's like, no, like he's going to be a wide receiver two at the end of the day. And if that's what you can get a deal on, then I would go for it. And if not, then you're just going to keep him.
All right, let's see if I can tempt the guys with some trade offers here. CeeDee Lamb or DJ Moore? What side of that deal do you want to be on, Erickson?
Oh, man, this one is interesting for me. Yeah, I think for me, I was encouraged by what I saw with Lamb in his first game with Cooper Rush. So
how could you not be? It was better than the first game with Dak Prescott.
I mean, know he got 11 targets again, but he actually caught more than two passes. So I was definitely excited about that. So when you look at Moore in terms of his rank, so he's wide receiver 40 right now in PPR, but wide receiver 54 in terms of expected fantasy points. So Lamb is wide receiver 44. In terms of total fantasy points, but he's wide receiver 14 in terms of expected fantasy points. So I'm going to chase the guy who is actually getting the volume. Dalton Schultz is potentially dealing with an injury now. So if Lamb is really the only show in town, I'm just going to trust the volume here. I'm going to go with Lamb, who I also think does have some talent. And, you know, if Dak comes back, there's a lot of other avenues and scenarios where Lamb is able to bounce back and have a wide receiver one season, even though he's going to be missing Dak for a large portion of it.
All right, Mason, same thing for you. Lamb or Moore?
I think it's going to be easily Lamb. I mean, I think the gap between DJ Moore and CeeDee Lamb may be marginal over the next month or so. But long term, when Dak Prescott does come back, I mean, I think that you are going to have CeeDee Lamb just absolutely crushing DJ Moore, because Dak looked bad week one. Entire Dallas Cowboys offense looked bad week one. But it was 1 week coming off a season where they led the NFL in points scored. Of course, we're never expecting that again, because the Dallas Cowboys offensive line is not nearly what it was. At the same time, they miss out on a decent amount of key playmakers. But it's the offense coming off the most points in the NFL versus the Carolina Panthers with Baker Mayfield. So I think you have to go ahead. I think you have to take CeeDee Lamb. I would even make the argument that he has less target competition, knowing that in Carolina you're dealing with both Christian McCaffrey and Robbie Anderson.
Fair enough. All right, how about Michael Thomas or DJ Moore? Who would you rather have rest of season?
I like Michael Thomas here. I mean, with Michael Thomas, we've seen the ceiling back in 2019, the last time he was fully healthy, obviously breaking NFL records. With Michael Thomas, he's proven that he is going to be a healthy wide receiver, fingers crossed, this season. And if we are just projecting this out, I think that you do have Jarvis Landry continuing to slide back in this offense. And as Chris Olave emerges, I would be a little bit less concerned about Chris Olave taking that production from Michael Thomas. Maybe the targets just get distributed in a way that you have Jarvis Landry with a smaller role. I mean, we already saw that role kind of shrink from week one to week two. So I don't know. It's very close. I wouldn't fault anybody if they wanted to go DJ Moore, but I think we'd go Michael Thomas here.
I think so too. And it's funny you mentioned what you did about Landry maybe fading into the background, because Landry's first week gave me all the feels of last year's Emmanuel Sanders. Remember like the September of Emmanuel Sanders, and then he disappeared into thin air. I feel like that could be similar potential. Look, it's been a wide receiver 7 finish for Michael Thomas, 8 actually, excuse me, and a wide receiver 18 the first 2 weeks. So who would you rather have, Andrew Erickson, DJ Moore, or Michael Thomas?
I mean, Michael Thomas already has 3 touchdowns, which is basically DJ Moore's season-long average. So I'm looking at the touchdowns. Again, it's just with Baker Mayfield, that's what we're hoping for, that he would catch more touchdowns. And he caught a touchdown last week, but, you know, is that going to sustain? I don't know. I mean, with Jameis Winston, who does he target in the end zone? So far, it's been Michael Thomas. I don't see why that would stop with these other pieces in this offense. Like, if Jarvis Landry does take a step back, and Olave, you know, the fact that he's seeing 300 plus air yards, I mean, he's going to be the deep threat. So Michael Thomas should still be able to feast underneath as the number one target in the Saints passing game. So look, you obviously drafted Michael Thomas after DJ Moore, but I don't think you should overthink this and try to think, oh, should I capitalize on Michael Thomas right now? If anything, I would want to get more for Michael Thomas than just DJ Moore. Because, I mean, he's a top 10 wide receiver right now. Why would I trade him for the wide receiver 40? I think you should be able to get more for Michael Thomas.
I agree. All right. But I think that trade is out there to be made, by the way. I think there were people who will take that. Like, I'm just saying, you might be able to get Michael Thomas for him, because people might panic, especially if the Winston news is bad this week, too. They pivot to what, Andy Dalton this week. That's fine. Okay. Like, whatever. I'm not panicking about that at all. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about No House Advantage. No House Advantage is changing the game by offering the most dynamic fantasy sports platform available today. Play in pick'em contests against other people for the shot at winning over $150,000 in cash. Download the app, choose a contest, select your player props, earn points for correct picks, and climb that leaderboard for your shot to win big money every single week. You can always test your skills versus the house at 20x your entry. And if you hit all your picks, boom, bet on the top 5 player prop over-unders or individual player matchups across every major sporting league, whether it be NFL,
NBA, MLB, PGA, MMA, and NASCAR too. Sign up today with promo code PROS. Again, that promo code is PROS at NoHouseAdvantage.com or download the app in app stores and get your first deposit match up to $25. Make sure to check out No House Advantage today and experience daily fantasy sports redefined, because it's not just how you play, but where you play. So make sure you're playing at NoHouseAdvantage.com. And when you do, use that promo code PROS. Again, that promo code is PROS to get that $25 deposit match. And now back to the action.
Let's go to another one. I'm going to start with Mason. So I give Andrew plenty of time to collect his thoughts on one of his favorite guys in the world, Courtland Sutton. So let's talk about Courtland Sutton, who's been traded quite a bit. I know the value's been a little, you know, all over the place to begin things. Would you buy, sell, or hold Courtland Sutton, Mason Dodd?
Coming into the season, I was not a Courtland Sutton guy. I was looking at the Denver Broncos offense going, well, yeah, Russell Wilson may be able to put up a lot of points, but even if they do, it'll be similar to what we had with Dallas in 2021, where everything is so spread out, where they had the weapons of Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, Albert O, Greg Dulcich, just a couple of running backs, that I thought even if the production was there, it wasn't going to be a one-for-one transfer from the target share you had with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett going over to Courtland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. Also looking at the splits of Jerry Jeudy versus Sutton coming into the year, Jerry Jeudy had been the wide receiver one when they were on the field together. So I was definitely a Jerry Jeudy over Sutton guy. But to look at the situation now, I can't act like everything hasn't changed. You have Greg Dulcich on the IR. You have KJ Hamler missing games. You have Tim Patrick on the IR. And now Jerry Jeudy banged up as well. Like, I went from being a Courtland Sutton hater to now I don't see how he isn't a top 12 wide receiver, at least until Jerry Jeudy comes back.
All right, so let's put it this way. Erickson, if you had the opportunity to buy Courtland Sutton still, is this the perfect time to buy him, maybe before the secret gets completely out?
I guess I don't know how the market is viewing the Jeudy injury. I know that it's a shoulder injury, and he's been listed as day-to-day. So
right now, it doesn't appear, what we're hearing, that he's going to miss any time with it. Now, again, that's now. That's as we're recording this on, what day is today? Tuesday.
I mean, usually when guys get the day-to-day label, they usually miss at least 1 week, because it's always optimism that day-to-day means week-to-week, and week-to-week means you're going to miss a month of football. So that's at least the way I view the situation. So, yeah, I mean, I would be aggressive getting Courtland Sutton now. I mean, he had a 39% target share without Jerry Jeudy in week two. I mean, this offense is so dysfunctional as it is right now, but the only thing that seems to work somewhat is Russell Wilson throwing the ball to Courtland Sutton. Like, that's really who he's looking for. Like, Montrell, like, these other guys are not commanding targets. Alberto did nothing last week after an encouraging week one. So, really, it's the Courtland Sutton show until we get Jerry Jeudy back fully healthy. So, yeah, I would definitely be all over trying to get Sutton on my rosters.
All right, who would you rather have rest of season, CeeDee Lamb or Courtland Sutton, Erickson?
I mean, considering I traded CeeDee Lamb to get Courtland Sutton before last week, I'm going to go with Sutton.
It was a good trade. Probably a good trade. How about you, Mason? CeeDee Lamb or Courtland Sutton for you?
I hate to answer it this way. I think it comes down to a couple different things. Your perception on that Jerry Jeudy injury, as well as where your roster currently is, because I would easily rather have Sutton over the next month, 5 weeks, maybe even 6 weeks. Like, Sutton would be ahead of CeeDee Lamb every single week in my rankings over the next month. But if we are looking long-term, if you have a roster that you're very comfortable with, or maybe you drafted Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, and you're like, you know what? All I care about is having that elite level ceiling down the stretch. By the time we get to the second half of the year, Dak Prescott should be back. And at the same time, you should have KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy, 100% healthy and good to go in Denver. So I think it does come down to your roster. For me, I could see one team taking CeeDee Lamb over Sutton and it making sense for their build. And I could see the exact opposite end of the spectrum where maybe Sutton makes, I don't know. I think it's up to you. I think it's up to your team.
I will say this. I think I always want to win now. And let the chips fall where they may, because you don't know what's going to happen with your team with injuries. You don't know what's going to happen to other things. If you get the better player for the next 6 weeks, I think you take the better player for the next 6 weeks, regardless of build, because you just don't know what the other. I mean, look, Justin Jefferson was gangbusters the first week, right? Not so much, thanks to Kirk Cousins Monday night. Boy, that Monday night special, Kirk Cousins. I can't let it go. All right, let's go to one more. Maybe this is not enough, so I'll add something to it. Would you trade Courtland Sutton to take on, let's say, Rashad Bateman plus Mason Dodd? Like, if you got another player, maybe you get a Singletary or a Damian Harris or something like that back in that deal as well.
Oh, if it's like a Devin Singletary level player, I'm easily going Courtland Sutton here. I know Bateman has had two very impressive weeks to start the year. They've been mainly fueled off of long touchdown receptions, which great. If you're a Baltimore fan, if you're a Rashad Bateman fan, you're very excited about that. But we have to ask ourselves, is that sustainable going forward? I think that Baltimore wants to be a run first offense. Maybe we see a slight change here when they eventually get J.K. Dobbins back. You still have Mark Andrews as that target hog in Baltimore. So I think it's Sutton easily over Bateman, and a piece like Devin Singletary wouldn't be enough to bridge the gap for me.
Okay, what about Bateman and James Robinson for you, Erickson? Is that enough for Cortland Sutton or no?
No. Okay. I'm not going to trade Cortland Sutton when he's like set up to smash. So I'm going to
Know if I could make a trade for you for Cortland Sutton that you would accept. I was like, I'll give you Jonathan Taylor and Devontae Adams. And Andrew's
all
like,
right, sure, I'll accept that.
I know, but you would do it begrudgingly. You know you would. Like, don't pretend like you wouldn't.
Buy low, sell high.
All right, let's go to the guys' favorite buy low and sell high targets of the week. Let's go with our guest first, Mason Dodd. Who is your favorite buy low RB in week 3?
We're going to go and we're going to trade for the backup running back for the New York Jets so we can all get very excited about that. But I mean, with Breece Hall here, who is an elite level prospect coming in, I mean, he checked every single box. He was a workhorse at Iowa State. He was an elite level athlete at the NFL Combine. He has the size to be a three down player, and he's already getting heavily involved through the first 2 weeks. And I understand everybody's going to say, well, Michael Carter's the starter, yada, yada, yada. This goes back to buying players before they're breaking out here. I mean, if we go back to 2018 with Nick Chubb through the first, 6 games, averaged 3 to 4 carries a game. Carlos Hyde was the starter there. If we go back to Jonathan Taylor in 2020, with Jonathan Taylor through the first 9 weeks, he only averaged about 12 carries, split in the backfield with Marlon Mack. Eventually, talent takes over. Breece Hall, week 1 as the backup running back for the New York Jets, had 9 targets in this offense, only trailing Corey Davis by 1. I think Breece Hall checks every single box. I know it's a very, very bad offense, but running backs can overcome bad offenses if they just get the raw amount of volume we're looking for. And to see this level of involvement from Breece Hall as a passing down running back as well, I know it's not the sexy thing to do to trade for the backup running back for the New York Jets, but it's something I'm doing.
Well, I mean, he was a highly touted running back, so it might be better. I think what you could do is take advantage of people who drafted him very aggressively, especially early on, maybe not getting the returns on that investment. And there's panic there because, like you said, the backup running back. But will that last? Probably not. Let's talk to Erickson about your buy low RB of the week.
Yeah, so I definitely like Ramondre Stevenson for the New England Patriots. So basically looking at last week compared to week 1. So week 1, he does 25% of the snaps. So he was basically buried in the depth chart behind Damien Harris and Ty Montgomery. But then in week 2, we saw his role increase substantially without Ty Montgomery in the lineup. 62% snap share because he ran 15 more routes than Damien Harris. So he ran 25, Harris ran 10. The route participation was 61%, which is a top 10 mark on the week. Like, this is really rare form for a Patriots running back to run this many routes and also have the potential for early down work. Like, this doesn't happen very frequently with these Patriots running backs because there's always some guy taking snaps on third down, like James White, Brandon Bolden, and it was going to be Ty Montgomery. But with Montgomery out of the way, I really think that Stevenson has a chance to be the more involved receiver, like we saw in week 2, because he's running the majority route. I mean, 62% snaps. Like, that's significant. That's more than double what he was doing in week 1. So they're trying to get him on the field more. And Joe, you know the Patriots. Like, they just don't have playmakers. Like, the fact that Nelson Agholor caught that pass, I was like, oh my God, dude. Like, I've never seen a highlight reel catch like all of last season. So the guy that makes the plays is Ramondre Stevenson. And I think that he's so cheap right now because he's not putting up any numbers. Like, he's not doing
really
much.
Well, he's
got
10 fantasy points and half PPR in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Total.
Exactly. So he's dirt cheap that you can get. And I think that he could be a breakout running back down the stretch.
All right, fair enough. I'm going to throw 2 more out at people because I've taken so many questions in the last 24 hours about some of these guys. One is Derrick Henry. Look. There's going to be a massive overcorrection potentially this week against the Raiders where they just hand the ball 25 to 30 times to Derrick Henry and just get out of the way, which is probably what the Tennessee Titans should do anyway every single week, regardless of what the scenario is, and stop trying to get fancy, okay? That's not who you are, Tennessee. Go back to who you are. So buy Derrick Henry everywhere. And yes, Andrew Erickson, before you get snarky, make a Derrick Henry comment of how many shares of Derrick Henry do you have, Joe? I'm trying to get as many as I can now.
Well, what are you offering to get Derrick Henry?
I'm whatever it takes. I am willing to, like, right now, like that Aaron Jones conversation in the split backfield. I'm willing to have that conversation. If I could get him for, you know, a grouping of players where people start to panic about Henry, I will do that as well. I think that there's money to be made here with Derrick Henry. And the other guy is Pierce, who I've talked about. We kind of had a feeling that it was going to be tough out of the gate. And you want to talk about Breece Hall being a guy that, you know, people maybe were very aggressive on, right? But if you look at the schedule coming up for Damian Pierce, starting with this week against Chicago, who's given up more rushing yards than any other team in the NFL, this could be the beginning of a very good run for Damian Pierce over the next few weeks. If you look at the schedule, the Chargers, another team on the schedule, a lot of good, I would say, defenses that are going to be bad against the run, which is good for Damian Pierce. Just mark those two guys, kick the tires, especially on Pierce. People want to drop him. Top by low wide receiver, Andrew Erickson. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk. I think that with Ayuk, you know, this 49ers offense has been like so much turnover in just 2 weeks because of all the injuries they've had on the backfield. Like, it looks like a completely different offense entering week three. But the thing that's been the constant is Ayuk operating as the traditional wide receiver one in the passing game. So he led the team in routes run in week one and in week two, 92% route participation in week two. And he led the team in target share with Jimmy Garoppolo under center in week two, 33% target share. So Ayuk last year was in the doghouse for the first half of the year, and then during the second half of the year with Garoppolo under center was really productive. From a yards per route run standpoint, he was in the top 15. So I think Ayuk is someone that we're not really like looking at because everyone's so fixated on the quarterback and Debo and the backfield, like trying to figure out all these pieces, when the one constant really has been Ayuk in that wide receiver one chair, you know, the traditional wide receiver one chair. So, I mean, if the team is going to throw more with Garoppolo under center, again, I still think it's going to be a run heavy approach, but you know, if they're not taking as many pass attempts out of the lineup because of Trey Lance no longer being there, I think Ayuk could make some noise. And you look at the matchup this week against the Broncos, and Patrick Surtain is banged up. So I think you could see a big week from Ayuk here and see his value spike. So I like to try to get ahead of it.
I like Debo too as a buy low, because I think some of those carries that we mentioned last year, there were so many. Well, maybe there's a little bit more than we thought because Trey Lance ain't around anymore. So Debo becomes an interesting one for me too. All the 49ers wide receivers, let's go. How about you here, Mason? Who is your favorite buy low wide receiver of the week?
My top two guys drafted coming into the year was Jalen Waddle, Deontay Johnson. Obviously can't buy low on Jalen Waddle, so we're going to have to go with Deontay Johnson here. I mean, the concern everybody had with Deontay Johnson coming into the season is, oh, Ben Roethlisberger was the only reason Deontay Johnson got fed. Ben Roethlisberger was a quarterback that had a noodle arm that couldn't push the ball down the field further than 15 yards. So the short area wide receiver in Deontay, his target share doesn't really represent what we should see going forward because, I mean, it was just a Ben Roethlisberger type thing. Well, we have two games with no Ben Roethlisberger now, where Deontay Johnson's been playing with a hurt shoulder. And Deontay Johnson has a total of 22 targets through the first 2 weeks. He's had some tough matchups. He hasn't had some great performances yet. But I think that this is a wide receiver that's getting these consistent targets. We saw this last year. We saw this the year before. Nothing has changed. So if you're playing in a full PPR format, Deontay's going to be your guy. Maybe because the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is going to be so bad, if you're playing in a non-PPR format where we're just trying to chase touchdowns, maybe it's not your player in a non-PPR league, but PPR in particular, where we can chase that target volume. Love me some Deontay Johnson.
All right. Do you think we get Kenny Pickett this week?
I have no idea. I don't think either quarterback's going to be great this year.
My Superflex team could really use some Kenny Pickett because I just lost Trey Lance. So I'm hurting right now. It's not a good look. I'm getting trades with Ryan Tannehill, Jacoby Brissett. Like, people are just throwing the absolute low balls at me.
We did talk about this on the pod. Every draft, I feel like, whenever we talked about Trey Lance, was I know when I drafted him, I always tried to draft a second quarterback of note, whether it be Cousins, Carr, whether it be Aaron Rodgers, like somebody like that, just because you didn't know if it was going to be good. You didn't know if you could get hurt because of more exposure to, you know, the style of play. And it sucks that it happened, but like there was definitely a plan of action where we were very clear about it cost you less to invest in him. And if you do, make sure you cover it, that investment, because the upside's huge, but the downside is what we're looking at, especially in Superflex. That was where it was harder, I think, to draft Trey Lance for me personally. Single quarterback, I was all about it. That two quarterback formats, man, that's a little tough.
So I drafted Kenny Pickett. Holding out hope.
The solution to all of life's problems, Kenny Pickett, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see if we can have a solution to the problem of selling high at running back. Mason Dodd, who's your number one sell high guy this week?
Obviously, this is going to get hate. It deserves to get hate. Now, trust me, I drafted way too much Aaron Jones in the second round. And I wish I could come out here and go, I told you so, I told you so, I told you so, he's going to be great. But in reality, I've been disappointed with what we've had through the first 2 weeks. Aaron Jones this past week comes out and, dear God, almost has 200 total yards, has two touchdowns. Like, Aaron Jones is in a great spot. However, I mean, if we look at the touches, I understand a lot of this came from the end of the game with A.J. Dillon, but it's a continued trend where A.J. Dillon is a massive role in this offense, where A.J. Dillon 18 carries compared to Aaron Jones at 15. With the targets, what I'm really concerned about, the reason I love drafting Aaron Jones is I thought there was an outside chance he was going to lead this team in targets. I thought that Aaron Jones could be the number one receiver for Aaron Rodgers here, but A.J. Dillon has had just as many, if not more, targets than Aaron Jones through the first 2 weeks. So if A.J. Dillon's going to be involved as a passer, I mean, as a receiving running back as well, I don't know. I think this is my opportunity in all the leagues I drafted Aaron Jones with to go through and to move him, go get someone like Davante Adams, who just had a down week, and just pivot over to someone I feel more comfortable about long term.
Look, certainly I would agree his value is at its zenith, and on top of which, you make a great argument about A.J. Dillon, who is one of my favorite guys that I've got rostered everywhere, that he is ever present. And that can't be good for the long-term value necessarily of Jones winning, getting more weeks like this of what you saw. Erickson, how about you at the RB position? Who's the biggest sell high for you?
I'm going with Clyde Edwards-Helaire because he's putting up RB1 numbers and he's doing it on 11 touches per game, which is just not sustainable long-term. Again, he's been efficient and you give him credit for what he's been able to do on his limited workload, but it's been against really two really bad run defenses. And my concerns are, okay, when he faces some tougher matchups, like how is he going to combat the fact that in week two, he was 24th in opportunity share at the running back position. So for me, CEH playing on the Chiefs offense, it's such an easy thing to put up on a pedestal and be like, hey, you want the Chiefs RB1? He's scoring all these touchdowns out of the backfield. He's ripping off these big runs. He looks great. But then what I see is he's not on the field on pass downs. You know, Jerick McKinnon is operating a lot on third down. They ran the same amount of routes in week two. And I'm also seeing McKinnon and Isaiah Pacheco work at the goal line and getting goal line touches. We don't even know if CEH is the actual goal line back for the Kansas City Chiefs. So for me, CEH is a really obvious sell high.
Okay. Let's move on to the guys at wide receiver you want to move on from. Erickson, who is your top sell at the wide receiver position this week?
Well, Mason beat me to the show sheet, and he took my number one Allen fade. So I'll go with the other guy here. So with Allen Lazard. So first game back for the Packers on Sunday night, 90% route participation. So I looked at that first like, oh, wow, okay. Like he's getting the wide receiver one usage. We didn't see anyone of the Packers receivers get that high route participation in week one between the backups, Watkins, Dobbs, Christian Watson. But the fact that he only got three targets while playing so much, you know, 12% target rate per route run, that was the lowest among all the Packers pass catchers in week two. So obviously because he's playing more routes, it makes it harder, but he was on the field almost the entire game and he only got three targets from Aaron Rodgers. Now, the bullish case for Lazard was, okay, he's going to come in, step up and be the wide receiver one for this Aaron Rodgers, you know, high-flying pass offense, but I don't think we're going to see that in Green Bay. You know, I've been kind of underwhelmed just from the passing perspective of Aaron Rodgers and his pass catchers as a whole. And I really expected more from Lazard in his first game back. So I think, you know, he still scored the touchdown in week one. I think he still has the perception of, okay, Lazard is the number one guy here, when I think in reality, it's probably going to be spread out like it is in Kansas City. And they're just going to use the running backs more than they're going to really feature the receivers. So I think Lazard is someone I look to sell, you know, coming off the touchdown. I think this is the time.
But you think that was more just need-based of that game? Like, they had that game in check. There was no reason to push a guy who just came back from missing a week of injury.
Then why is he on the field for 90% of the routes? That's my question.
On the field and taking contact are two different things, because his presence on the field is important to make sure you respect his presence on the field so you can run the football efficiently and do the things you want to do from a game plan standpoint. That's my counter-argument to your argument.
If they were concerned about his injury, I would have expected if he had been three targets and it's like his route participation was like in the 50%, I'm like, okay, like that makes sense. Like they're, you know, they're easing him back in.
I just saw them easing him back in and saying, all right, you're on the field. Let's not push it. Let's not, it's a long season. It's week two. We got this one.
But he wasn't being eased back in. He was out there every time Aaron Rodgers would drop back to throw the ball.
Yeah, but
more than every other receiver.
Contact is a little different than being
running
routes.
What do you mean? You take contact when you run routes. You got to catch the ball.
Not as much as when you catch the football. I can tell you. I'll tell you. Well, come out in the yard with me. We'll show you what happens. We'll go do that.
You can't catch me.
I probably can't. You are super fast. But what am I saying? We're on the same flag football team from the East on our Fantasy Pros team, and we're the champions, so we shouldn't be fighting. We're together. We're brothers. Mason Dodd, who's the other Allen that you're looking to get rid of right now?
Yeah, we're going to be selling the third receiver for Matthew Stafford here in the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, you have Cooper Kupp, bona fide stud number one. After that, you have Tyler Higbee with his 20 targets. After that, you got Allen Robinson with his 7 targets through the first 2 weeks. I mean, Allen Robinson had an atrocious season last year. This is why we weren't drafting Allen Robinson this season. Allen Robinson last year was outscored from a points per game standpoint by T.Y. Hilton, Braxton Berrios, Khalif Raymond, Danny Amendola. Now, I understand you're going to say, well, Mason, he was playing with Justin Fields. Well, Darnell Mooney in his second year in that same situation did just fine. If we look at his yards per route run last season, 1.2, the only wide receiver to post a yards per route run that bad and then the following year be a top 24 guy was Brandon Cooks back in 2020. 2019, he was horrible, but he was able to take that step forward. I don't know. I don't see it here with Allen Robinson. I think that he's the name. I agree he's playing with the best quarterback ever. I mean, of his entire NFL career when he's used to Blake Bortles and Mitchell Trubisky, but I don't know. I mean, I think he was a player with a very wide range of outcomes. So whenever we see him failing so far through the first 2 weeks, I'm going to go through. I'm going to look to sell. I think that him scoring the touchdown this week is honestly going to be a saving grace for anybody who drafted Allen Robinson, because now they can be looking to trade.
All right. So everyone named Allen. That's what you got to do, everyone. Trade everyone named Allen, according to the guys. Let's go to our pick six.
Pick six.
That's right. It's time where we take 6 questions from our listener mailbag over on our Discord chat, which, again, it's free to join, fantasypros.com/chat. You can get in our Discord and join it. It is expanding at an alarming rate almost, which is super cool. It's fantastic community over there, Fantasy Pros. Again, free to join. But if you want access to the Touchdown Call channel, if you want access to our stages where we talk to people and bring them up like a radio show, if you want access to our AMA channels, you have to be a premium member. Once again, Fantasy Pros. .com/offers. Go upgrade today. 6 free months. Go get it done. Let's go to B. B's first question is, just got offered a trade where I received CMC and Deontay Johnson for Saquon and Waddle. Now, you're the Waddle guy here, Mason Dodd, so maybe we'll start with you with this one. Is there any reason not to take this deal?
I don't know. I feel like I have to plead the 5th. I feel like I'm so biased with any Jalen Waddle question.
You can't keep taking the 5th here. It's putting you on the spot. What's your gut tell you?
This guy at running back has Dalvin Cook, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker. I feel like he has that long-term upside as is. Give me Saquon and Waddle. I'm sorry. It's probably not the right call. You can go a different direction.
I think it is the right call. Away my
I agree. I think it's the right call too.
So sorry. See, Mason, look, this is a safe place. Okay, you know, I want you to be able to go out there and stamp your opinions there on the mat. But yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts so far recently, by the way, about CMC, Andrew Erickson, what you've seen out of the first 2 weeks? I mean, last week was better.
I mean, it's pretty typical. Like, he's still seeing 80%, 90% of the snaps. He's getting all the touches. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, does Carolina score a touchdown this week? Does he score a touchdown? That's kind of just really like... The fact that, okay, then Baker Mayfield has to stop this like hero ball stuff where he's running around pretending he's like Josh Allen. Like, dude, just dump the ball off the CMC. Like, it'll make your life better. Right. Make the offense better.
But that's not his game. You know that, and I know that. If you go back to the college days, it's so annoying, dude. It's errant throws that are ill advised at the wrong times trying to be a hero. He is the
So annoying.
He is the perfect candidate of the trying to be a hero QB. Look at him throwing him up there. That's why you watch the show on the YouTube channel. Let's go to Jada Myers, who wants to know, trade Ayuk and London for Mike Williams and Christian Watson, or Ayuk and Bateman for Mike Williams and Christian Watson? Any of these deals you want to make, Erickson?
I definitely don't want to trade Drake London. I want to trade for Drake London.
I don't care. Wait a minute. One of these guys has Herbert throwing the football. The other guy has Marcus Mariota.
Okay, Drake London has a top 5 target share with Marcus Mariota.
You don't get points for targets.
Yes, you do. PPR, you do. What do you mean in PPR?
you get them for receptions.
Yeah, which Drake London has a great reception. He's been catching most of the passes thrown his way.
He is for now. Just you're gonna take him over Mike Williams. Wow.
I mean, Mike Williams.
I didn't think we'd get here so fast.
I mean, look, Mike Williams had the big game without Keenan Allen. How healthy is Justin Herbert? Is he going to be dealing with injuries all year long? Like, I'm not trading Drake London right now.
I'll take one-armed Justin Herbert over Marcus Mariota the rest of the season. Right. Mason Dodd, it seems like you agree with Erickson from your face. I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely do. You can't be moving London at this point. I mean, if we're looking at Mike Williams, he was my number one buy low guy last week whenever he disappointed. But then Keenan Allen went down. I didn't even like him coming into the season. I thought it was crazy people were drafting him as a top 12 wide receiver. But when Keenan Allen goes down, you know Mike Williams is going to be wide receiver one because, as you said, you have Justin Herbert. But if Keenan Allen's coming back for the long term, I think that Keenan Allen's still the number one target here in this offense. And if Herbert maybe isn't 100%, give me London here.
Ray O'Blander wants to know, 12-team PPR redraft, would you trade Jamar Chase for Saquon Barkley and Darren Waller? That's the deal, Mason. Jamar for Barkley and Waller.
So I think if you're playing in like an expert league where you have multiple flex spots, here you just want to take that stud wide receiver. But the issue is when you're answering these questions for just casual redraft shallow leagues where they only start two wide receivers and a flex, you got to have to change your mindset a little bit, understanding the replaceability of the wide receiver position specifically in that extremely shallow redraft format, which I don't think you should be playing in. So what I'll say is if you are playing in that league where maybe it's a league where you can only start two wide receivers and a flex, where this guy says he's extremely deep a receiver, I would be fine going through and making a deal like that, because also in that league, if we can only have that very limited starting lineup size, just the overall percentage of points that the tight end position is going to be contributing to your starting lineup, the tight end's going to become a lot more important. So if it's that very shallow redraft league, I think we go through, I think we take Barkley and Darren Waller. However, if it's going to be a league where it's a little more wide receiver centric, then I think you want to keep the stud Jamar Chase.
All right. I always want to keep the best player in the deal, and I think Jamar's the best player in the deal. Yeah. I understand this person's concern. They've got Javonte and A.J. Dillon as the top two RBs on their roster. But for you, Erickson, would you take Barkley and Waller, who, let's be honest, I mean, a checkered injury history? Can we say that in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, both guys have definitely been banged up. But I agree with what Mason's saying, how in this particular setup where 12-team PPR, I mean, I think that he can fill more gaps in his roster. I mean, he doesn't have a tight end right now. He has Tanyan, which means he doesn't have a tight end. So now you're filling in Waller. Okay, now you actually have an elite tight end, which are far and few between, as I, you know, Dalton Schultz is hurt, Kyle Pitts isn't getting any targets. Like, how many elite tight ends are there? At least Darren Waller delivered last week. So, look, you're getting a stud tight end. I mean, Saquon Barkley, I think, yeah, there's been injury concerns, but, I mean, don't forget about week one. The dude was a monster, and he still got the snaps, got the touches in week two. So I still like going after Saquon Barkley. So, I mean, if we draft it right now, Saquon Barkley would probably be a first-round pick, same as Jamar Chase. So you're getting a first-round pick, you're trading first-round picks, and you're getting Darren Waller as well. I think I like the getting two pieces of the deal.
I feel very alone here on the show after three questions. All right, let's rapid-fire these last few. Tony1350, trade away Tua and Olave, receive Lawrence and Pitts. Erickson, which side? You want Lawrence and Pitts or Tua and Olave?
I'll take Lawrence and Pitts. I mean, right now, if you're going to trade Tua, this is the time to do it.
Mason, same for you?
I mean, yeah, this guy is Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen Waddle. I'm rooting for Tua to keep on doing what he's doing. But, I mean, you're getting Kyle Pitts here. You have Jalen Hurts at quarterback. You're never going to be starting Tua Tagovailoa regardless. I would even be fine dropping Trevor Lawrence if we have Jalen Hurts, or maybe trying to flip him in another deal to get a slight upgrade at wide receiver. But, yeah, just go get Kyle Pitts. Trade Tua away.
All right. Dale Grissom, full PPR. Kamara for Antonio Gibson and Allen Robinson. Which side wins? Mason, I think it's pretty clear, right? Theoretically, it's Kamara's side.
I'm taking Kamara. I mean, I think here, if you're looking at Antonio Gibson, he went up against Jacksonville and Detroit. I think that you're going to have the Washington Commanders taking a massive step back down. I don't think Carson Wentz is number two in the NFL in passing yards throughout the entire year. We have Brian Robinson coming on later in the year. I want to be selling Allen Robinson in general. So give me Alvin Kamara.
How about for you, Erickson?
I think I would want to make this trade in my own leagues, like, but getting Kamara, like trading Gibson and Allen Robinson to get Kamara. Like, that's probably the trade I would make.
All right, last one here, JMG24, Devontae Adams, giving Hollywood Brown and James Robinson. You like, if you can do that, that's a no-brainer. You take Devontae Adams. But here's another one here, Lamb for Ayuk and Chase Edmonds. Look, I don't think I want to give up Lamb for Ayuk and Edmonds, Erickson, do you?
No, I want more if I was going to give those guys. I mean, Edmonds is like potentially the backup on his team, and Ayuk is still have a bunch of question marks. Like, Ayuk still has a lot of question marks about what his role is going to be, Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, I like the upside, but I like it not paying CeeDee Lamb for it.
Yeah, if you could buy low on Adams this week, do it. Adams, Henry, all the big stars who had bad weeks, pounce on it. Do it right now. I want to thank Mason Dodd for joining us on the program as well. Make sure you check out the YouTube channel. Also of the Fantasy Flock. They are growing exponentially every single day. Tons of live streams. You can follow them on the Twitter machine at Mason.FFN. Mason, thanks again so much for your time and your insights. And it was a great discussion here with you. And of course, if you need more help on that, Trade Analyzer tool is available for you. The Trade Finder is available for you over at My Playbook at fantasypros.com/MyPlaybook. So check it out now and upgrade your Fantasy Pro subscription to the premium subscriber level today. For 6 free months with fantasypros.com/offers, go make a deposit and get all the tools for all of your rosters over at My Playbook. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including No House Advantage. Download the No House Advantage app now, and they'll match your first deposit with $20 in free play. Again, that's No House Advantage. And don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and Mason Dodd, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.